Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Ava Rutzel and myself, John Byrne. Coming up on this week's programme, Ava will be speaking to Alessandra Simbara, the organiser of this year's Dublin Greek Film Festival. We'll be finding out about the worldwide phenomenon known as woofing. We'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll have some great music from Greece for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. Certain cosmetics from foreign countries topped the list of dangerous products taken off the shelves before they could be sold in Ireland last year. New figures released this week by the European Commission also show that certain plug adapters and mains leads for specific tablets were also deemed to be dangerous and removed from the market. Tim Hayes is head of communications at the EU Commission office in Dublin. He says the good news is that under the EU alert system, consumers are protected and dangerous products have been removed from the market across the European Union.
This is a system whereby the manufacturers or the retailers or the governments communicate with one another, so therefore the products should already have been recalled, and so there should be no danger for anybody walking off the street.
The European Consumer Centre is advising holidaymakers that they have legal rights if flights are delayed. The centre says airlines operating within the EU have legal obligations in the way they treat passengers if flights don't depart on time. Passenger traffic for the 2016 summer season will increase significantly from next week. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says passengers should be mindful of the following if holiday bookings do not go to plan.
You should be given written notice of your entitlements if there's a delay of more than 2 hours or you're denied boarding or the flight's cancelled. If there's a delay of more than 2 hours and depending on the distance of the flight, you should be able to get free meals and for refreshments or 2 free calls. If the flight is delayed by at least 5 hours, you may opt for a reimbursement of the full cost of the ticket.
A Cork-based company has just benefited from a 50,000 EU Horizon 2020 grant to develop a unique way for companies to target consumers. Adaptize, which is based in Bishopstown, has created software for smartphone apps which redefines the way brands and game developers reach audiences. The software promises to bring a fresh approach to advertising and customer retention. Tony McCarthy of Adaptize says the software creates a win-win for companies trying to target customers while engaging in brand awareness.
We have a piece of software that gets embedded into apps that helps developers get downloads, because there's over 1,000 apps a day going up on the store. So it's very hard for the indie developer, which is about 90% of the market, to actually get any traction and success. And the other side of what the software does is that it creates brand engagement and awareness for brands.
A Dublin-based company has just won a €50,000 grant from the EU Commission for a new website that helps third-level students having difficulty with their college subjects. The money has been awarded to UniTuition, which is based at the Dublin Digital Exchange at Crane Street in the Liberties. The funding was granted as part of the EU Horizon 2020 Innovation Programme. Orla McCallum of UniTuition says the website will bring many benefits for students struggling with third-level subjects.
We're essentially an online marketplace, so we're a website that connects students and tutors. So if you're a college student in Ireland and you're struggling with a subject, you can go onto unitution.com and find a tutor that has already done your course and has done really well, and then you can meet up with them and get help.
Ό,τι αρχίζω μου τελειώνει, σε κομμάτια σπάει γυαλινά. Με σκηνή που δεν παλιώνει, με έχουν δέσει όσα τα λινά. Τόσα λόγια κι υποσχέσεις, σαν χαρτιά καμένα στη φωτιά. Ποια αγάπη θα μπορέσεις που έχεις μία πέτρα στην καρδιά. πάντα δεν μου έτυχε. Στάξεις τα περνούσε πάντα, δεν με πέτυχε. Είναι για κάτι μου τύχη ξημερώματα. Ακροβάτης δίχως δείχτη στα πατώματα. Έχω πέσει, το τηλέφωνο μου δεν χτυπά. Όσα μου πες τα έχω δέσει κι όλα ήταν ψέμα τελικά. Τόσα λόγια κι υποσχέσεις σαν χαρτιά καμένα στη φωτιά. Ποια αγάπη θα μπορέσεις που έχεις μία πέτρα στη καρδιά. Αγάπη μια για πάντα δεν μου έτυχε. Στάξεις τα περνούσε πάντα, δεν με πέτυχε. Είναι για κάτι μου τύχη ξημερώματα. Ακροβάτης δίχως δείχτη στα πατώματα. Παλεύω να σωθώ, να πάρω αναπνοές. Και με πόνο σε γυρεύω σε παράκια, δρόμους και στοές. Η αγάπη μια για πάντα δεν μου έτυχε. Στάξεις θα περνούσε πάντα, δεν με πέτυχε. Είναι για κάτι μου τύχη ξημερώματα. Ακροβάτης δίχως δείχτη στα πατώματα.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Hi, this is Eva Rützel for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Today I talked to Alexandra Zimbara, the organizer of the Dublin Creek Film Festival, which took place from 21st to 24th April last week. Hi Alexandra, how are you?
Hello, how are you? Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk about the festival.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Could you tell us a bit more about the background of the festival?
Yeah, sure. Well, we started thinking about it and planning for the first edition 2 years ago. It was myself and my good friend Kiki Konstantinidou. She actually came up with the idea. She's Greek and she saw that the Greek community in Dublin is growing, but the Greek culture is not that well known here in Ireland, the modern culture.
Okay.
So we started thinking about showing movies, because there are many great movies being produced in Greece that are not really well known here. And this is how it started 2 years ago. It was just an idea, and we ran the first edition in 2015, which was very successful. So we just decided to continue it.
Oh, really good. What do you think are the main differences between Ireland and Greek when you say you want to link the two cultures with the festival?
Well, there are obviously some similarities. Like, Greece is going through the crisis now, and Ireland experienced it a few years ago. There was a big crisis here, and at the moment there is a big crisis in Greece. Also, other similarities, like Greece has so many islands. It's surrounded by sea, like many of the islands are surrounded by sea, while Ireland is surrounded by ocean and the Irish Sea as well. There are many other actually things might connect, like love for music, because Ireland is very well known for having so many musicians and people are very musical in general.
Yes,
and the same
right.
applies to Greece, like the Greek music culture is very big. So there are good few many similarities, yes.
Okay, yes. And what kind of films have you shown on the festival?
This year we shown documentaries, so we had two documentaries. First one was A Family Affair, which was a music documentary talking about a family, a very famous family based in Greece, or coming from Greece, Xylouris family. So it really shows their lives and how music really bonds the family and keeps it together. The second documentary we shown was Agora, which was talking about the Greek crisis. So for anyone, like, it was a great option for anyone who really wanted to know more about what happened in Greece, what was the reason the Greece went, is going through the crisis, and how it affected, like, ordinary people in their daily lives. So we had these two documentaries. Then we had feature movies, new movies coming from Greece. So this year we shown Smack by Elias Demetriou. Last year we shown, his movie was also screened at the festival. It was Fish and Chips. And this year we are presenting his latest movie, Smack, which talks about Eleni, who is diagnosed with cancer, and she's trying to have another look at her life. Oh, and this screening took place in a film base. And then we showed the Sentimentalist,
yes,
which is a kind of a dark comedy and also a tragic romance, like it's a mix.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting movie with beautiful soundtrack and beautifully made, and people really enjoy it. And also we decided to show Little England by Pantelis Voulgaris. He's a very well-known Greek director. And this is his last movie he made.
Okay.
This is more like a costume. It was more like a costume drama, and was talking about the life of a few women on the Greek islands, and how their lives is being affected by living on the island, as all men are sailors, so they are not really present, and how they cope with everyday life. This year, we also were in touch with the International Short Film Festival in Drama, and this is a big event in Greece. It's an international short film festival, and we got some of the movies that won awards at the last edition at the end of 2015. So we were presenting some short at Film Base as well, and this was a free event, also well attended.
Okay, sounds interesting.
Yes, and on Sunday, our closing event consisted of, again, screening A Family Affair, so the music documentary, because the first screening was sold out long before the festival started, so we decided to show the movie again. But we combined it with a music event, so we brought from UK a group called Pakao. They play Greek music, not only traditional. Well, they mix kind of traditional and modern music, and they entertained people at the Sugar Club on Sunday.
Ah, very good. Do you show all the films in English?
All the movies have English subtitles, of course, because many of people that come to the festival are Irish or of other than Irish or Greek nationalities. So
yeah, of course.
We want to reach wider audience, so all the movies have English subtitles. Yes.
All right. At most of the events, people watch films in community. What kind of films took place apart from that?
Apart from showing movies, we were having this concert at the Sugar Club, which followed one of the screenings. So music event where people got a chance to listen to some Greek music, dance a bit, and. Yeah, and just enjoy themselves. That was our closing event. So all
okay.
other events were, yeah, all our events were about movies, as we are a film festival.
Yes, of course. Which locations did you choose?
We were looking for a central location, so city center. Well, we started, the first screening took place at the Chester Beatty Library, which is just behind the Dublin Castle.
Yes.
So that was one venue. Then we went to Film Base, which is in Temple Bar. And it's a great venue, as many people that love movies or are producing or learning about movies, they come there. So that was our second venue. The Sugar Club was perfect for having a concert there, because it's a different venue, bigger venue with a proper stage. We had there one screening and also concerts. And the last one was Omniplex in Rathmines, which is also a city center location. So basically we're looking for places that will be easily accessible to people, like city
yes.
center venues.
A good idea, yeah. And do you have already plans for next year?
We started thinking about next year, yes, definitely. We have some movies in mind, and we are waiting, but we know that new movies will be released shortly. So, yes, we have already started thinking about 2017 edition.
Very good. And do you have a website where we can get more information and
yes,
where
we
can update for next year, maybe?
Yes, we do have a website. It's GreekFilmFestival.ie. That's our website. We are also on Facebook. We have a Google Plus account. We are also on Twitter. And we have a newsletter. So if people go to the website, they can subscribe and they will hear. They will get all the news delivered to their inbox.
Okay, thank you, Alexandra.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for the interview and thank you for joining Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
It was a pleasure.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Pendete será, tria dio ena. Αγαπάς να σ' αγαπώ. Να θέλεις μόνο εμένα. Να σ' έχω δίπλα μου Θεό. Να ζω μόνο για σένα. Τι να μας πουν που δεν μπορούν. Να ζήσουν ό,τι ζούμε. Κάποιοι δεν ξέρουν να αγαπούν. Και άλλοι απλά μπορούν.
Tanya Goldbicher here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Today we are going to talk about woofing, and the word is spelled W-W-O-O-F-I-N-G, and it stands for Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. Now I'm joined by Annie King, who is the manager of Woofing Ireland. Hello Annie, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine today. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Annie, I just said what woofing stands for, but very basically, what is woofing?
Well, woofing started 40 years ago in the UK, and it was the idea of a secretary in London called Sue Coppard, who wanted to get back out to the countryside in a very nice summer in, I think it was 1971. And she had some friends who had an organic farm and thought they might like some help. So she went out to help them for a weekend, and originally called Weekend Workers on Organic Farms. And then it became Willing Workers on Organic Farms. And the whole idea is, and then it became Worldwide Opportunities. And the whole idea is to go to somewhere to learn about organic growing and sustainable living in exchange for accommodation and food and for giving help to the people that you're staying with. It's really based on an exchange, trust and exchange.
Okay, and the focus is on that it's only on organic farms?
Well, anyone who can teach about organic growing and sustainable living. So we don't have any hosts who are non-organic in any way.
If you decide to become or to do woofing in Ireland, and what kind of farms could you end up in the country?
We have a whole range of different people. I would say in the main it's people with small holdings and large gardens, but we do have some large commercial organic farms. We also have some other centres for alternative healing and communities. And we even have someone who is... who actually harvest seaweed, which is organic because it's in the sea. So there's a whole range of different places and people that you can go to and experiences you can have.
And what makes it actually organic? Like if you say I want to become a host and I have a farm, what do I have to prove that I'm an organic farmer?
Well, because we take it on people's words, really. Obviously, if you're certified organic or you are with IOFCA, then that shows that you are organic. But if you are basically not using chemicals or using any kind of other gardening techniques like biodynamic gardening or permaculture or something which is not reliant on any kind of artificial fertilizers, then yes, that's interesting and people can learn about it, come in to help you out. And so that's what makes you qualify, really.
Okay, so let's say I want to decide that I want to do woofing, but what do I have to do?
You have to go to our website, which is www.wwoof.ie. And if you click on how to volunteer that and read all the pages that come there, you'll see what you make as a commitment as a woofer and what's kind of expected of you and what you can expect from hosts. And you go through to the payment pages. It's €20 to join for a year. And that gives you then access to all the hosts that we have on our list. And we now have 375 hosts in Ireland, and that includes Northern Ireland as well. I took over the Woof list from Woof Independence, which is an offshoot of the UK, which handles the lists of hosts in countries where there are no national organisations. I took that over from them 3 years ago, and we only had 100 hosts, so it's really kind of taken off. And we're looking to really are trying to encourage Irish people to woof in their own country. We've been to DIT to do some presentations a couple of times to encourage students to maybe go out woofing at the weekend or in their holidays, because it's quite an education to learn how food is produced in your own country. It's not just about travelling and going abroad, really.
And what is the role of the organisation in all the process of organising hosts and woofers?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Like, what is the role of the organisation, like your part?
Yes, well, we...
Administration, or...?
Yes, we do all the administration, but we also deal with problems and if there are any complaints. We have a complaints procedure. We have a feedback system on the site, which we follow up rigorously. We have... There is a visa that is... applicable to volunteers, and we get all the paperwork together for people who are doing that. We do outreach, we go to conferences and, like I say, to do talks at colleges like at DIT about WOOF.
Okay.
We are in the process of appointing regional representatives. We have one in North Leinster, Karina, and one in Donegal, Joe, who are going to be a kind of coordinating point for the hosts and woofers in that area. And basically, since before I took it over 3 years ago, it was run quite remotely, all via the website. We're trying to make it a more personalised service, like we have the telephone number on the website, so if people have queries, they can contact, as well as contacting by email. So it's quite busy. It's we're actually also in the process, because it has expanded so much over the last 3 years, of becoming incorporated and becoming a not-for-profit organisation with charitable exemption. with the view to using any excess funds to provide grants to hosts and woofers for organic projects or organic education or anything to do with sustainable living. Which we're basing that on a model which Woof Portugal is doing at the moment. They have hosts making applications every year for this grant fund that they have, and we're hoping to be able to do the same thing in probably in about 2 years' time.
Okay, and do you think, like, or is it too much to speak of an kind of ecological movement that's supported by networks like Woofing?
I don't know. We have interesting debates about the word movement and whether there is an organic movement and what that actually means. Because when you start saying that, it sounds like you're getting into some kind of political arena. And we're really more about the trust and exchange between people and about promoting organic growing, healthy living, which is another, you know, sustainable living. So. But we have actually received more, or Woof has received more recognition in the last year. The Woof group in South Korea was invited last October to join the IFOAM conference, the International IFOAM conference. IFOAM stands for the International Federation of Organic Agricultural Movements. And coming out of that, Woof itself is about to form a worldwide federation which will be made up of all the national Woof groups, which will be there to support the new national Woof groups which are emerging all over the place. It's growing worldwide. It's quite amazing, really.
Thank you, Annie, very much. This was very interesting. If you just, like, say the website again where you can get in touch with you and...
Okay, it is www.wwoof.ie.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Okay, thank you, Tanya.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to our guest this week, Annie King from the worldwide initiative known as Woofing, and Alexandra Simbara, the organiser of this year's Dublin Greek Film Festival. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie. That'll have a link to the various items that we spoke about on this evening's programme. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.